Thanks for having me. So, hello everyone. I'm Miranda Brandon. And Susan had asked me if I could speak about the work a little bit, and what I thought I would do is answer the kind of three most common questions that I typically get, which I'm looking at you because you ask me basically the three most common questions I always get. So you got a, I should have said spoiler alert each time. Yeah, yeah. I won't because I've already forgotten what I told you. But hopefully it's similar enough because then it'll seem like I just made it up. So one of the questions that I frequently get is people want to know why I'm interested in birds. And so to answer that question, I've always, like in a very general sense, I've always been interested in animals. Like as a kid, my parents had a fair number of animals. So we had a small acreage of land, and we had horses and rabbits and dogs, and I think there was a goat at some point. But more specifically, for birds, it kind of stemmed out of a conversation that I was having with a friend of mine, maybe probably 10 or so years ago, in which he was telling me about all the seabirds that they were finding dead on the beach with this plastic debris in their stomachs that they were mistaking for food. And that really kind of inspired me to find something that I could do even just locally that would feel helpful, or at least I wanted to get involved, I wanted to know more. And so I ended up volunteering at a wildlife rehabilitation center up in Minneapolis, just outside of the Twin Cities, and I ended up in an avian nursery. So that was kind of what really made me fall in love with birds specifically, was working in close direct contact with them in injured birds, and birds that were injured primarily due to things that we had been doing, or somehow because they were living in the same space that we live in. And that contact with the rehabilitation center led to me finding out that the Minnesota Audubon was looking for volunteers for this project called BirdSafe, so all these birds are they're all dead, and they all came from that volunteerism with Audubon, Minnesota, in which they have volunteers out in the spring and the fall during the migration seasons to monitor for birds that have died due to colliding with reflective surfaces, windows. Also, skyways are very problematic. So these were all birds that died due to those problematic issues that they face. And that is problematic because they don't see it as a building, right? They see the reflection, so they see sky, or they see desirable habitat. They see like a tree that they could fly to, but it's a reflection of a tree, right? So they're going. Even a hummingbird can go up to like 30 miles per hour if it's really cruising. So if you imagine, hitting something at 30 miles per hour, it's probably not going to end so well. So that volunteerism, finding these birds, so that coupled with this project that I was working on, this other project that I was working on at the time, in which I was creating these kind of large-scale, full-color images of this kind of post-apocalyptic-ish narrative of, in which I was thinking about like the kind of psychological aftershock of what it would be like to have lost all these species. I've seen that lost species and how that affects us psychologically. And so it was kind of, I was kind of at the end of that project, and then I started finding these, or I started volunteering, I was finding all these birds. And so what ended up happening is I wanted to actually start talking about something that was real, and that was something that was present, but also something that I felt like was kind of invisible in a way too, because these, in Minneapolis, specifically in Minneapolis, we have I think they call them ambassadors, in which they, so they're going around and they're making sure everything's tidy and clean, right? So so this was happening, but it was being kind of, it was being tidied up, which, understandable, but also, like a lot of people that I talked to weren't aware that it was an issue that was happening. And with, I think Audubon started, I want to say Audubon started this program in 2007. And looking at the numbers in Minnesota, and looking at the numbers, it averages out, I think, to be about 375 birds that they find per year, which doesn't really sound like that many, but they're only looking during the fall and in the spring, and those are the, only the birds that are found and documented. Whereas the annual number over the entire, you know, over the entirety of North America is much, much larger, like almost up to a billion of birds that die annually due to colliding with reflective surfaces. So so that's, I think I've answered one of my top questions. One of the other questions that I frequently get is about the scale. How do I get them to the scale that they're at? Why are they so big? And so how I'm doing that is each individual image you see is not one single image. It's anywhere from 60 to 200 frames. So when I'm photographing the birds, I'm using a macro lens, and I'm photographing just a small section of the bird each time I take a picture. And then so it's, you know, so I'll move across the bird, photographing it, kind of tiling it out. And then I'll use the computer to stitch those images together. So I load up some images, and I tell the computer, like, hey, I want you to put these images together. Each image overlaps just a little bit so that the computer kind of knows how to line them up. And then I go back into each frame and adjust that to make sure that each frame is, the sharpness is prioritized the way I want it to, so that each of the birds is as sharp as possible throughout the whole bird. And so if you'll notice, like, this is an earlier image, the hummingbird over here, so it kind of like fades in and out of focus. I think that's the only one that's really like that in here, because it was one of the, it may have, I don't quite remember, but it may have been the first bird that I photographed. And so as I kept finding birds and finding and photographing more birds, the amount of detail that I could show became very important to me. I wanted to really exemplify all these really fine little details in the feathers as much as I could. Also, one of the things that's, so that's part of how it's done, but one of the reasons, or two of the reasons why I want them to be at this scale, one is that so you can see the detail and really be able to get up close to something that is quite small. So that's one reason, but the other reason is also that I like the idea of that if you walk up to something like this, that it really kind of starts to mirror our own scale and kind of challenge us or confront us a little bit in that, in presenting itself as it's creating this visibility for its own death, right? But two, that it kind of confronts us in our own self-importance, or that's how I see it, is that we're just literally like enlarging the scale of this thing and asking that we look at it, that we see it, and that it kind of puts us, it takes away this kind of hierarchy of our own self-importance, basically. And so, what's the other question? What was it? We already went through this. You asked me two or three. I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
I'm trying to like.
Third one.
Right. The third question is really just about is back to why birds again. So it's not so much about it's why make a project about birds, not just how did I get into being interested in birds, but one of the things that I like about birds is, at least personally, I feel like they're pretty charismatic. For the most part, they're pretty non-threatening as long as they're songbirds. I know there are a couple people out there, I'm friends with a couple of them, that are pretty freaked out by birds of any size. But for the most part, I feel like they're pretty charismatic. And I feel, I kind of think of them as kind of like a gateway species into thinking about how we're sharing our space with, or how we share space, period, not our space, but how we share space with non-human animals. And so I think of them as a way to remind us that there are other beings out there, and that there are other beings that live in the same spaces that we do, and hopefully kind of invite that awareness into our daily routine. So I think those are usually the top things that people ask me. Do you all have any questions that I could answer for you right now? Okay. Sure. So the reflective surfaces are, I'm photographing them on plexiglass in a studio setting. So what you're seeing here is something that is actually seen and captured through the lens. So it is an actual reflection. Yep. Yes?
You said earlier, I wasn't here. If you come across a bird,
It depends. So I'm not sure what you all have here in Rockville. Legally, it is illegal to like possess any bird or bird parts or bird nests or eggs or whatever, is with the exception of rock pigeon, starling, and house sparrow, because they're considered pests. But any other bird, you're not legally allowed to have them. Right. Right. Yeah, it would. I don't know. Like in Minneapolis, like I would have somebody that I could tell, which would be like Audubon, like because I was connected with them. I'm not sure what it would be for Rockville, or I know Baltimore has Lights Out, so I mean there's probably someone you could notify there. So I'm not sure.
How did you choose the species you did? For what reason? The color or the shape?
These just happen to be birds that I found when I was volunteering with Audubon. So most of the birds that I found when I was volunteering for Audubon, I photographed. I mean, not every single one, but like often a representative species or representative individual from that species I would photograph.
So sorry for a gruesome question.
Oh, no.
How old are these birds? How far past death are these birds?
When I photographed them?
Yeah.
Anywhere from an hour or two to a couple days. At the time, we were allowed to hold on to them. They've since changed the protocol, and I was told it wasn't because of me, but I don't know. But we were at the time we were allowed to hold on to them till the end of the collection season, if necessary. Some people, like to volunteer for this particular program because it helped them with IDing. So I think a couple people were interested in advancing their IDing skills. So sometimes I would have these for a couple weeks even.